Rosen joining us in studio today and sporting what I must say is a very good-looking, retro-ish Milwaukee Brewers sweater.
Good morning.
It looks like a Letterman sweater.
Yeah, I haven't seen it before. Have you seen it?
No.
Yeah. I'm going to the game tonight. I don't think anyone will make a comment to me on it, right?
Oh, can't imagine. No one's going to say anything
and
to
if
you.
If you're not watching on the YouTube stream right now, why don't you get your butts over there?
I can't imagine you know the answer to this question, but where did you get that?
I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
It just showed up on your desk?
No, in my closet.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, I need a closet genie like that.
Yeah, that's how my deal kind of works. And then it was actually on my hanger, like, to wear today. And so I called the person who put it on the hanger and was like, is this appropriate to wear to work, or is this because I'm going to the game tonight? She's like, stop being such a weirdo. You could wear it to work.
Right.
And I was like, oh,
it's a cardigan.
Yeah, of course.
It's a good sweater. It's a nice sweater.
Again, it looks like the old Letterman sweater, like back in the day when you would get a letter for your varsity sports and it would go on the sweater.
I'm just saying every single person I've walked past has said something about it. So it's not like, oh, like maybe one or like last week I went to a dance competition. For my daughter.
I was going to say, you didn't participate, but
and
yes.
And I was wearing a Euchre hoodie, and I'd said to Harper, I was like, oh, a lot of people, I feel like everyone loves Euchre. I was like, the over-under's on like 3.5 of how many people mention it. Like 6 different people over the course of the day, like, oh my God, where do you get that, blah, blah, blah. I feel like the over-under on this of mentions is going to be more than 3.5.
So this is a philosophical question for you and conversation. Do you like that? Some people do. Some people like fashion so much that they put together outfits so that people will say, oh my goodness, like love your outfit.
I don't care. Like, so if someone will, and in this case, it's Kelly, who people know, one of my good friends, ex. If she's going to put the work in to hang up any sort of clothes for me to wear that day, I will wear them. And if it was every day the exact same clothes that looked exactly the same that no one would ever notice, I would wear that. And if it's something that people are going to notice, I'll wear that.
Well, like, it is a good looking sweater. And I think that there will be people out there who see it on the YouTube stream and go, ooh, I want to own that. Let me ask you about the Milwaukee Brewers because we... Move my coffee first.
Okay.
Because the Athletic polled 40 executives on the best front offices in all of baseball. If you had to guess where the Milwaukee Brewers ranked, where would you say? This is other baseball executives ranking the Brewers based on what they have done recently. Where would you guess that the Brewers ranked according to this poll?
I'm going to say the Brewers ranked 6th.
Up.
Better?
Yeah.
Okay. So my initial instinct was 4th. And then I went down to 6 thinking David Stearns is gone. So some people will say he was part of the front office. So they want to see more draft and develop from this group because David Stearns was at the helm for so long.
The Brewers ranked 3rd
with
one first place vote. And they cite all the things that we have talked about that make the Brewers front office great. I actually think this is a huge win for the Milwaukee Brewers. We talk all the time about the haves versus the have-nots and how they have to do things differently to be recognized by the rest of the league as one of the top 3 front offices in all of Major League Baseball is a huge win.
Well, do you know who is being talked about as the next Major League Baseball commissioner right now?
No, who?
Mark Attanasio.
Mark Attanasio.
Really?
He was floated in a recent story as the one name that people believe might be able to unite baseball because he has the experience, similar to what Bud Selig did, right, of being in this type of market and competing with the larger markets, but they feel like he also has the relationships and understanding of the larger markets that they actually think, you know, Mark Attanasio could be the next commissioner of Major League Baseball, which, I mean, if Aaron Rodgers goes to the Vikings and somehow relives the Brett Favre thing, and then Mark Attanasio
becomes the commissioner,
I'm going to say maybe we've just all been alive too long and the world just like, we stayed on the ride one time too many and we were supposed to get out. Like, you know,
is a flat circle. Sort
yeah.
Of thing.
Like the revolving door, like when you spin one too many times and you're back outside. Like, I think there's something weird going on if that happens.
He interviewed for the job back when Manfred took the job. Like he talked about that too and said that, I didn't want to interview for it then because everybody knew Rob was going to interview for it, but clearly he was identified back then as somebody that could potentially be that guy.
Yeah, and you look at the unique aspects of running a franchise like this and being competitive, I don't know what he would say, like, in that role. If he'd be like, you know, how, if he'd be like, see, you can compete in this system, or, hey, we could have competed and it could have been so much better if the system was a little different. Either way, I mean, this team is one game out of first yet again, right? And if they had actually put their closer in when they were winning 4-0 against Arizona last Saturday, they would be in first place right now. I mean, so, I mean, with 10 pitchers have been hurt this year.
Right.
It's insanity.
Yeah. Right. I believe when Tobias Myers makes a start, which I believe is going to be coming up this weekend, he'll be the 10th different Brewer to start a game already.
The 10th start? I was thinking about guys
hurt. Yeah, no, 10 start. 10 different starters already. They've got
nine. I actually remember, like, back in the day, you would say, like, oh, it was a rough year. You had to use 8 or 9 starting pitchers over
the course of an entire
season. It's April, right?
Yeah. No, we're not even a month in.
And yeah. You were saying that that was the only series that they've lost so far, right?
Well, the Yankees.
Everybody knows
series,
the Yankees. Yeah, I have Men in Black series. That yeah. series from yeah. my brain, just yeah. so you guys
so
know.
So since the Yankees series, that's the only series they have lost.
All right, the other thing we want to talk to you about this morning, Craig, is I don't know how much of the Aaron Rodgers press conference you saw.
No, 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 what about the Bucs? The playoffs
we're
are starting.
We're going to talk about the Bucs.
Okay, you said the other thing. I got nervous, and I know Field Yates is coming up, so I don't want to overstay my welcome.
Not until 8:30.
Okay, first of all, you didn't overstay your welcome last week. Like, if we're having a conversation for a half hour, I don't think that's all on you. I think we share some of that responsibility.
Would you rather talk about the Bucs right now?
No, it's your show.
Rod?
No, it's your show. Jeez, I just got nervous.
Oh,
I just
goodness.
Got nervous. I mean, Josh put it in my head. I was nervous.
I mean, Bucs.
Right.
Six. I mean, that's
now
more
it's your
fun.
Fault. Now it's your fault.
What about Aaron Rodgers? What about Aaron Rodgers?
I didn't know I had that power to rattle him.
So it appears as though the Steelers are currently waiting on Rodgers. He wants to debunk narratives that say he's holding the league hostage or holding teams hostage, whatever. That's a narrative. That's verbiage, right? But what do we got?
No, I was just playing a game.
You're like a child.
No,
I'm like
you're the child.
Best.
You're the child.
I'm trying my best.
You're
to
the
get
child.
A topic
you were in the middle
here.
Of talking. You didn't need to get distracted
you
by that.
Pointed at
I
the
pointed
screen
to Gabe to show how good they put the ESPN New York logo up on Get Up when Alan Hahn was on. That's what I was showing Gabe.
I'm going to say to you what I say to my girls. Eyeballs. Okay. Eye contact. Okay. Aaron Rodgers.
I just want
Steelers.
To give people more time to get to YouTube to check out the sweater. How many concurrent viewers do we have on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube? Do we know right now?
Is the sweater in a good spot, too? Because I feel like, again, Jen missed the big Brewers logo that's on the left side of the sweater. I want to make sure that that's looking good in you know, it's looking good on the camera.
Okay.
All right. Are we good?
Back to
Jen. Does it look good?
Back to you, Jen.
It looks very good on the camera. I'm just going to woosah my way through these next few moments. Rodgers doesn't want people to think that he's holding the league hostage, he's holding a team hostage. Yeah. It clearly sounds like he has some personal things going on that are taking his attention. What is your perception of the whole situation? And I want to lean into you as a guy who runs a company, a big company, and you had a linchpin person that your lineup in New York, since we touched on that, depended on. What is your level of... Yes, we understand that you are dealing with some things there, but also knowing that you need to make a decision at a very critical position.
It depends how important they are and how much you think they're going to possibly impact your culture and your team. I mean, there's people who we have talked to for 10 or 15 years before they've joined the company at the right time, right? So it's continuing to keep the conversation going and all that. So I think what you have to do, though, in a league like the NFL is you can't sacrifice this current year unless you think that person is that big of a game changer. And I think Aaron Rodgers is a winning quarterback in this league right now. I have no doubt about that. I just don't know that if you're a team like the Steelers that you want to wait forever. And if you want to show that one person, if it starts to feel like one person's bigger than the team, I think that's where you risk the message. But I think if anyone could handle that, it's Mike Tomlin in terms of the credibility he has within his locker room.
How excited are you for Dame?
I'm so excited for the Bucks. I'm so excited for Giannis right now. I mean, so if you think about it, Giannis is the MVP this year of the Eastern Conference, right?
Yep.
You know, he's going to be third in the MVP vote behind Shea and Nikola Jokic. He'll beat Tatum by far. He'll be unanimous to the first team All-NBA once again. 7 consecutive years, I think, he'll be fourth or higher in MVP voting. He's completely healthy, and the Bucks have been completely written off in the Eastern Conference. I can't recall that happening, where you had the best player far and away in the conference, not just the person who got the MVP votes one year like Russ may have, but where a team is this discounted with a healthy player of Giannis's level, when we know if you're the best player going into a series, it gives you a great chance to win. So I am, more than anything, excited that we have Giannis healthy for a playoffs, because it's been, you know, since 2022, since that was the case. And I know we got hurt, you know, we got hurt early in that Heat series, but basically, you know, a healthy Giannis dragged the Bucks without Chris Middleton to almost beating the Boston Celtics, you know, the year after the championship. I mean, they had that game one, game six at home, up 10, start the fourth quarter. So a healthy Giannis to me is the most exciting thing. For Dame personally and everything, I'm so happy that he was able to get through this, it seems, in this way. And if he's, I mean, we know he's resumed basketball activity. We know he's off the blood thinners, which makes playing a possibility. I still don't know the exact timetable, so it's tough to be excited about him on the court, but I'm very excited for Dame off the court.
But I think we can kind of surmise that it's got to be relatively, I mean, it's not like he missed a ton of time. He only missed 3 weeks, and he was able to, you know, still do some things individually and avoid the contact. But practicing yesterday, that gives me a lot of hope for the series.
It does. But I just, again, full contact versus practicing is different, right? And when you're still coming off the blood thinners, I don't know how long it'll need to be. But again, for Dame off the court, beyond excited. But this Bucks team, you know, Jericho Sims is back also from the injury. He's an important player in this half court defense. Like I'm and the Pacers, like when you get a team the year after they eliminate you, I think there's like, you get a little, there's a little edge. Like I feel really good about game one. And it's rare that I feel as good. I feel really good about game one right now.
So we were at Weekly Wager at Pottawatomie on Wednesday, and we were going over some of these numbers for the Eastern Conference.
And by the way, I don't know anything, again, just to make everything clear, I don't know anything inside. I need to, this is very clear. I don't want any tampering. I don't want any of that. I know nothing beyond anything the public knows. Okay, back to you.
That's the second back to you you've given me on my dang show, Craig.
What do you mean tampering? You can't tamper with your own
team. No, but you can. No, it, in this world of legalized gambling, when I spoke and then she went right into gambling, that's a danger sign for me as part of the ownership group of the Bucks.
I was just going to let people know that even with the news about Dame, the number has not moved for your Milwaukee Bucks to win the Eastern Conference. Right now they are plus 5,000. And you got to imagine that when Dame sets foot on the court, that number is going to change.
What about for the series?
Wouldn't you say that at some point that number...
Do you have the series? Are the Pacers still pretty big favorites in the series?
I didn't see series. I only saw the game. I can go and look. Joshy, but you would think that that number would change once Dame sets foot on the court,
100%.
Right?
100%. Yes. Significantly, I would say.
Would you think that the Pacers will still be the favorite to win the series?
I think it probably gets closer to a coin flip at that point. Because, I mean, what, isn't it a 4-5 matchup?
Yeah. It's a 4-5, yes.
Yeah, so.
But, I mean, the Bucks are bigger underdogs than, let's say, the Timberwolves against the Lakers. I mean, that was a number I saw. So, I mean, I think the Bucks have been discounted. And that's what I'm saying. Like, the idea of a healthy Giannis, like, we haven't seen this in a while. And it, to me, it does seem like a disrespect toward the team and toward Giannis, the way the Bucks are being thought of going into this series against Indiana. And that's part of why it is so exciting for me.
Do you want to talk to us about the NFL draft? Or now I'm going to ask you what you want to talk about. Because I don't want to, like...
I mean, it's my first time on this show, so we're just developing chemistry for the first time. We've never really done this before. I mean, we talked about last week, how exciting it is and everyone coming to Wisconsin. And as we're getting closer and closer to it, like seeing the buildup of events and seeing the amount of people who are like, I wasn't going to go, but like, this is never coming here again, right? I should be going to this thing, right? And yeah, I mean, it is. Let's talk about the draft.
So which direction do you think that they're going to go? Because the Packers obviously are sitting at 23. We're going to have Field Yates on the show shortly. And he was saying how teams want to move down in this draft, but nobody wants to move up in this draft, which means it's hard to find a trade partner who is willing to, you know, work with you. I think the Packers stand pat, but if they stand pat, what position do you think they go after in that first round?
Well, so first of all, there's an argument to be made, and this is the weirdest statement I'd make, and this is almost like, ooh, you know, that movie Draft Day is on Netflix.
Why are we,
now.
What are we doing that?
So that's on Netflix. It's a good movie.
No,
everyone
it
should
is
watch
a terrible
it.
Movie. It is an awful movie.
Jen.
I've never seen it.
Jen?
I've never seen Draft Day.
You don't need to.
Oh my God.
And honestly, I brought this up to you, what, it was a few weeks ago. I was like, I've never seen Draft Day. I haven't seen it. Do I need to see it? And he said, no.
Must see. So good. So good. It shows
Must
you the
see?
It shows you the behind the scenes of how an NFL team really works. It's really good. Hey, you've never been behind the scenes, obviously, if you're laughing that much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing you also feel that. What was the show with The Rock? Ballers? Yes, Ballers shows how behind the scenes of the NFL also works.
See, people think, like there's that show about the Lakers that's not about the Lakers, you know, that's on Netflix. Did you watch that one?
Yeah, I watched that one. Yeah. Must see.
See, people think there's no way these billion-dollar organizations are really run this way. Lakers are actually run that way. I'm telling you, that is how. Watch Draft Day. So anyway,
he gets like more than what he traded away at the end. No, that doesn't happen in the NFL.
If the Packers, if Goody, stick with me and see if Joshy's the voice of reason on this show, right? If the Packers traded their 23rd pick, the first round pick, for the Browns pick, which is the first pick of the second round. I think that would be a good pick for a good trade for the Packers.
I found an article here that says 10 ways the movie Draft Day has aged poorly in 2025. Doesn't sound like it's a.
Seems like people are spending a lot of time evaluating it.
Doesn't
must be
sound
a classic.
Like a documentary.
Still talking about it 10 years later.
We should be using as a. This is how it's done in the NFL. Did you say what position you think they should?
No,
draft
I said I
no,
think
he
they
wants
should
them to trade
the pick.
In the
I think they
round.
Should trade the pick. For the Browns pick, which is the first pick of the second round, and not get any additional compensation. Just trade for that.
And go after what?
The 23rd pick, trade it for the 33rd pick.
And what are they trying to get? What position do you, what do you mean?
You're not trying to get a position.
Oh my God.
So here's the thing, what you're trying to do. You nailed it. This is a weak draft. There's only 15 first round draft pick quality people. So you want quantity. So what you want is that first pick of the second round. That's the most valuable pick after pick number 15 or so, because that's when everyone has the whole night, the whole day to think about, oh, that guy's still on the board. That's probably the best player. That's our only first round draft pick grade guy. So I believe that first pick of the second round will have more value than any of the last 10 picks of the first round, because that's when GMs sit around. And then you take that pick and you trade back and get two or three picks for it and you fill all your needs.
So the Packers aren't picking until like 40-something.
Yeah.
While hosting the draft.
Yes.
Okay, all right. I'm sure that will go over swimmingly with
you
the live
crowd. You
think
Goody really cares about what the fans think?
I think Mark Murphy does.
Mark Murphy doesn't have a job anymore. Mark Murphy doesn't have power, right? What's he going to do? Fire me if I'm Goody?
I mean, technically. I guess he's not going to fire him for that, but he still could fire Goody for another couple of months.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, if Goody did trade the 23rd pick for the 33rd pick,
for
he
nothing.
Might get fired.
Yeah, I was about
the
to
spot.
Say, if he did, no further compensation.
It would be like the movie Draft Day. Wait, the Browns have just traded up 10 picks without giving up anything. What is going on here? Jen, that is why you need to watch Draft Day.
I'll have to trust you on that reference because I have no idea what you're talking about. Packers Outsider weighing in on the YouTube stream says Draft Day is utter garbage.
Ah.
Peter weighing in saying Draft Day is terrible, so unreal. There's no way a team makes the trades that happened on that movie.
I think it happened for real.
Think the top player in that movie, Jen, is a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback from Wisconsin, and that's not even the most unrealistic thing in the movie.
That's an excellent point by you, Gabe.
I think Jen's just only reading the negative comments about Draft Day.
I got to be honest with you.
Good luck finding positive.
I was going to say, I have one person who basically the support of Draft Day is, follow me here.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I agree with that comment. Kevin Costner and Renee Russo have great chemistry.
Jennifer Garner.
Oh, Jennifer Garner. Yeah, Renee Russo.
That's a tin cup.
Yeah, see?
Now you're getting your Costner co-stars.
Well, I was thinking they'd ran it back again. Yeah.
He basically says, it's a fine movie for what it is.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're 7 minutes over when we're supposed to get out to talk about Draft
Thank
Day.
You. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We do have Field Yates coming up sooner rather than later. Thanks, Craig.
Thanks.
Easter is almost here. Still time to get that Easter meal at Bunzl's. They're stocked with hams, lamb chops, lamb shoulder, center-cut boneless pork roasts, and so much more. You really need to check them out. I love going out there, not even just for Easter or the big holidays. Just, you know, again, it's such a great meat market that you get everything you need. Check out some of the great specials that they have, like their homemade Al Capone stuffed pork chops, $6.99 a pound. Fresh marinated party wings, $6.89 a pound. Meaty country-style pork ribs, those go great on the grill, $3.99 a pound. Makes plans to stop by Bunzl's, 90th and Burleigh. You won't regret it. Find all the weekly specials and more at Bunzl's.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times. Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But
was
I don't.
Incident?
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We were talking about Potawatomi Sportsbook with Craig when he was in here. There is a winning magic powering Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee this April. Prepare for exciting quest to $300,000. It's the Enchanted Spins Slot Tournament. How does it work? Get your reward card, play your favorite slots to earn drawing entries. Every Thursday, 60 winners, 60 we'll compete for thousands of dollars in cash and prizes. Let your journey begin with Enchanted Spins. It is only at Potawatomi. More information available online. Must be 21 and a rewards member to play. So just a quick peek behind the curtain before we get to Field Yates, who will join us in just a few moments. Yesterday, we had our game day ABC ESPN draft conference call, talking about ideas, talking about structure and all of those things. And no surprise, the star of the call was Field Yates, who has been grinding on this draft for, I would argue, a year. It's probably like one of those big time events, Gabe, where the minute it ends, you start planning for the next one. I would guess that he has been prepping for this draft for a full calendar year. But he said something on that call that really like opened my eyes. He said this is one of the more complicated drafts he has followed in years. What do you think he means by that?
I think he means that there's not a lot of top-end talent, and it just kind of becomes convoluted of, okay, there's probably a lot of guys who are all clumped together. What are teams going to actually value when it comes to be their time to pick? That's what I think he means by that.
And of course, you are going to be beholden to however the draft board shakes out in front of you. I think there's a lot of different directions some of these teams want to go, but it is going to depend a lot on what happens in the picks leading up. And we will talk about Shedeur Sanders, because while you may not think that he will have an impact on what the Packers end up doing, turns out he may have an impact on what a lot of teams end up doing. So Field Yates is going to join us in just a moment here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy to talk all things NFL draft right after this.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally yes. We figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We are less than a week away from the NFL draft being in Green Bay, Wisconsin for the first time, potentially the last time ever. So if you're still thinking about whether or not you should get up there for the festivities, we highly encourage you to take part, to get up there, to enjoy the NFL draft and all that it has to offer. And a guy who has been digging deep on the NFL draft, Field, you're going to have to fill me in here. I said to Gabe, I think you've been probably working on this draft for about a year. Field Yates joining us here on the program. When do you start working on the NFL draft?
You guys are going to think I'm a sicko, an absolute sicko. But I had a little bit of a quiet break in the action yesterday, and I started to put together my 2026 prospect list.
Of course.
Because what happens is, you guys think, and I'm not being serious, because what happens is, the day after this draft is over, we'll do our grades, and we'll do our winners and losers, and notable picks, and surprises, and things of that nature. But before you know it, people are going to say to me, all right, just hypothetically, if the Giants have the number one pick in the draft next year, which direction should they be turning at quarterback? And it's a labor of love, perhaps. And, you know, I think all of us are caught. I know Jen, obviously, is front and center every Saturday on site for game day. We all love college football. So in some ways, it's just getting ready for the college football season. But this draft class has been really, you know, a full year in the making. The biggest variable in draft evaluations now is I had like 82 guys that I had a draftable grade on and went back to school. You know, they get the right amount of NIL money and they say, you know, I'll wait a year and I'll improve my stock from a day three player to maybe a day two or even a day one player, kind of like what Cam Ward and Tyler Warren and a couple of other guys did this past year. Those guys might be two of the first seven or eight picks. Cam will certainly be the first. So just a much different world right now for college football and these prospects and how quickly they decide to go and, you know, eventually pursue that NFL career.
With this quarterback, with this quarterback class not being very deep compared to last year's, and really not a lot of NFL teams necessarily looking for that quarterback of the future, how tough has it been to really evaluate this year's draft class?
Yeah, it has been an interesting one. And what's been interesting, too, about this quarterback draft class is, like, the evaluation takes place all throughout the college football season. And then it kind of kicks into overdrive once teams around the league have made their moves in free agency. Right now, as I go into the NFL draft, and obviously things could change and teams could prioritize quarterback a year earlier. But right now, I would argue that the Titans, the Browns, the Giants, the Saints, and the Steelers are the five teams that kind of must address quarterback at some point early in the draft. There are more than five quarterbacks that I think people around the league could argue belong in the first five, right? There are like seven names that people tend to wrestle over as the top five quarterbacks in the draft. But with quarterback evaluation, what makes it more complicated than just the teams and the players involved is that I've made this analogy many times before. Like if the three of us went to a neighborhood in Milwaukee and saw three homes that were all in the market for the same price, you know, one of us might like the house that has a pool. One of us might like the house that has a big yard. And one of us might like the house that has the best kitchen, right? Like it's just a matter of what you value the most individually. So where I believe in my conversations with people over the last, call it 7 months since the start of the college football season, Shedeur Sanders has been in the eyes of most people a top two quarterback prospect. However, if the Saints decide to take a quarterback at number nine, and they're bigger fans of Jackson Dart and Tyler Shuck than Shedeur Sanders, then Shedeur might be the third quarterback off the board. Does it mean he's the third best? I don't know. I mean, it means the Saints didn't view him that way. And I'm making this example up, obviously, as we'll see what happens a week from now. But placing quarterbacks within a mock draft is not just a matter of who needs them, but also what you think they might value the most. Last year was this very unusual year where it felt like regardless of who had picks 1, 2, 3, obviously it was Chicago, Washington, and New England, the first three picks in some order were going to be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and also Drake May. If there were, I mean, we have three quarterback needy teams at the top of the board this year, and there's not seem to be any momentum for, I think it's going to be two at most, right, in the first three picks. There's no way in which we see three quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3 this year.
Field Yates joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning to talk all things NFL draft. You're mentioning quarterbacks, and you were talking yesterday about Shedeur. First of all, note, I can't believe that Quinn Ewers, who we thought was going to be like number one, we thought like it just has changed so much as far as the narrative surrounding Quinn Ewers, but I digress. You have said that Shedeur Sanders is sort of like this turning point for the draft. Explain what you mean by Shedeur Sanders and the impact he could have on the first round as a whole.
So Shedeur has a range, I believe, starting at 3, and then I think it goes all the way to 21. 3 is the Giants. I mentioned the Saints as one of the other quarterback teams at number 9, and the Steelers at 21, who, unless you guys have learned something in the past 90 seconds, to my knowledge, Aaron Rodgers has still not signed with the Steelers. And I thought yesterday his comments with Pat made me feel like him signing with the Steelers is far from a foregone conclusion, right? I mean, if you're Pittsburgh and there's no answer on Aaron – by Thursday night next week, you have to plan for him to not be your quarterback as far as your draft is concerned, right? So it's just a reality of where they're at right now. But I think Shedeur, you know, the Giants have been doing their homework, obviously, over the past 24 hours on Shedeur, on top of all the work they've been doing for the last 7 or 8 months. It's such a fascinating dilemma. It seems like, because I don't think, it's very rare for me to speak in absolutes. in the draft because very few things are considered the exact same in the eyes of many people. But I would say that with Shedeur Sanders and the Giants, it does not feel as though the entire organization says to itself unequivocally, this guy must be the pick at number three. The question you have to ask if you're the Giants is, are we going to go back-to-back years with the top six picks and need a quarterback and bypass the quarterbacks on top of that? Let's just say the Giants' mindset is, hey, we're not going to take Shedeur at three, but we would take him a little bit later on the board. What is your guarantee to get back into the order at the time that you need to get back into the order at? That is, you know, there's some question marks there. So I think that Shedeur at three is possible. I think nine is possible, but unlikely to the Saints. But the Steelers at 21, I mean, I can't imagine it goes lower than that, given the fact that Pittsburgh, again, unless Aaron signs tomorrow and the Steelers say we're set, we're riding this thing out for as long as Aaron signs, I think they're taking the quarterback at number 21. And to me, Shedeur dropping much past them, given all the work they've done on him, and I think the admiration they have for Shedeur as a prospect is probably as low as he goes. I can tell you this, though. Teams like the Packers and others who don't need a quarterback are praying that as many quarterbacks go in the first round as possible, right? Just moves good players further down the board to number 23 for them.
Maxwell Hairston is somebody I've seen, you know, for the Packers in a number of mock drafts. But he went to the combine, weighed at 183, you know, ran all his drills, did all that. Yeah. Recently on a social media post, he showed himself weighing in at 194. When somebody puts on weight like that, how do teams handle that this late in the process? Maybe they, you know, he might have been excluded from some teams because he wasn't weighing that much, but now he's met the weight. But how do you go, okay, well, you're 11 pounds heavier, but I don't know if you're as fast as you were because you've added weight.
I also don't know if you just threw a shot put in your pocket when you stepped on the scale.
That's right. Yeah, there are a lot of ways to put on 11 pounds. Water weight, you know, ankle weight, you name it. You know, the weight wasn't as much of a problem for me on Max Hairston as it was maybe for some others. I understand that, you know, the NFL does have thresholds that it generally abides by. We talk about this a lot with arm length of offensive tackles and, you know, quarterbacks. Bryce Young a few years ago, the big conversation was if he's 198 pounds, he's fine. But if he's 188 pounds, he's not fine. You know, like, I think ultimately it comes down to this is that, like, I don't think if you're drafting Max Hairston, what you're expecting him to be is to be this edge setter who's going to, like, really impact the running game. But what you are expecting from Max Hairston is a guy that you got a player on the other team that you want to play man coverage against, and he's got good speed. Max Hairston's going to be your answer. I'm not saying this because of the station and the city that I imagine are the fans of the team that I believe many of your listeners are the biggest fan of, but I felt throughout the process that Max's college stuff reminds me a little bit of Jair coming out of college. Obviously, you know, Jair is a big question mark for the Packers right now, but you just don't find that many loose athletes with that kind of speed and the rare ball skills and the instincts and the competitiveness, plus the, I would say, confidence that really shines through. I mean, if you see Max Hairston out there against pretty much any wide receiver, I think in his mind, it's, I'm good. Like, I'm ready for the test. So I've also felt like that the Packers are a good home for Max, in part because I think back to what happened last year. You know, Jeff Hafley, I don't think at his roots wants to have a defense that plays zone coverage on 70.2% of its snaps like they did last year. I thought that last year, maybe it's, I don't know which side's the chicken, which side's the egg, whether you want to call it the pass rush wasn't good enough, so it was going to leave the corners in compromising positions, or they just didn't have the corners to play man coverage last year. But I think they want to find a way to make that number between man and zone a whole lot more balanced. And certainly Nate Hobbs goes a long way in helping out the secondary. But I think you need at least another corner in this class, and then you got to find some edge rushers as well. So that's why I think Hairston makes a lot of sense for Green Bay at number 23. It's kind of in the right range of where I have him on the big board, too.
Really good stuff. Really good insight. Really appreciate that, Field. So if you think cornerback for the first round, then what for Green Bay? Because you're covering all of the rounds for ESPN, and you're not just the guy who's there for the first round and then deuces. So if they address cornerback, which it feels like you think there's a distinct possibility, do you think then they go after wide receiver, or do they address the issue that you just mentioned, which is the pass rush?
Yeah, I think it's probably back to the pass rush well if they can. And I do think this. I and I know Jen, you and I talked about this on the call yesterday in advance of our broadcast next week, like the depth of this class outshines the star power of this class. And I think corner, wide receiver, and edge rusher all are good testaments to that in this year's draft class. Much more edge depth this year compared to last year. I think the wide receiver depth is really intriguing. I think the players they can get in, you know, round three and beyond are probably, like, I would probably rank the strength of the wide receiver class from round three on as superior to corner and edge, which might influence how they attack those needs if they do indeed hit those three needs early in the draft, like I think we all agree would be logical. I think the other thing for Green Bay with a wide receiver is, like, what archetype are they looking for? We know the Packers obviously have had, like, this kind of this conglomerate that has maybe no alpha, but has a lot of guys that do different things. You know, Jaden Reed being the explosive, like, get the football in his hands type of player. Christian Watson, when available, is the downfield threat. Dontavian Wicks kind of controls the middle of the field. Romeo Doubs just seems to be Mr. Steady Eddie. What are they looking for? Like, I'd imagine they're looking for one of those four archetypes, just, you know, a higher ceiling or a more consistent ceiling than what they have gotten from pretty much all those guys except for Jaden. I just don't know exactly what they feel like they need the most right now. And that might determine the wide receivers that they target. It's 54 for them, I think it is, in the second round, or 56, somewhere in that range. So second round or beyond, I think, are reasonable areas to get that wide receiver because of the fact that there are so many different shapes and sizes at that position from day two and beyond.
Well, and as we have addressed, the Packers have brought in a number of wide receivers to work out, so it seems like they at least know this is an area they need to target in the upcoming NFL draft. Cannot wait to see you in Green Bay Field. You have done exceptional work. It will all show on the broadcast. We are lucky to have had you with us this morning. Have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Does Jen know that I'm staying in her guest house for the draft? There's no hotels in Green Bay, so I got to take a car ride every morning. So
he's Field Yates. You can watch him on ESPN. Thanks, Field.
See you guys.
Take a break. Roll on right after this. Stick around.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm right-handed, but like,
left-handed. I'm with Gabe here, yeah. I feel more confident in my left hand here just cupping right now other than my other hand cupping.
Mostly because I also...
I get a lot more work out of the right hand.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center. Of course, it's the only place to go for the ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason, and that reason... Actually, it's multiple reasons. Great selection, whether you're looking for that lab-grown diamond, naturally mined diamond, they're going to have options. But also because of the great team that they've assembled over at the Jewelry Center. If you don't have an idea of what you want that ring to look like, go to our Pinterest page. See if there's anything there. Bring that in. The helpful team at the Jewelry Center, always going to point you in the right direction. Check them out in Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington. Shop online at shoptjc.com. And when you head to the Jewelry Center, make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
Before we go this morning, I want to take a moment to address what was announced yesterday regarding College Game Day's future and Lee Corso, who has decided to hang him up. He will be 90 this year. Just after his 90th birthday, he will do his final show on College Game Day. Obviously, guys, I have a great relationship with Lee Corso. He is just an exceptionally wonderful, kind human being. And for somebody as talented as Lee Corso is and has been, and all that he has done for ESPN, for College Game Day, for the college football audience at large, he could walk around like he is the guy. You know what I mean? He could be like, "Don't you know who I am, Lee Corso?" And he is so far on the other extreme of that, Gabe. It has been refreshing to work with him over the last 9 years. And I know that it took a lot of people by surprise, just like the timing of the announcement. But ESPN really wanted it to be a celebration of Lee's career leading up to that first weekend in the fall.
He's been doing it for almost 40 years. I mean, College Game Day probably does not exist without Lee Corso and get to the point where it is as big as it is now. And you guys have as many people as you have working on the show. You think about, you know, kind of early 90s when it's just, you know, him and Herbie and at that point Fowler just kind of sitting at a desk. And now you see what it's become. Going live on campus, huge event, him holding the crowd in the palm of his hand with the head gear selection. It's an unbelievable thing that he's been able to help build in terms of College Game Day.
I don't think it can be understated how much of a pioneer he is in terms of sports entertainment.
100%.
And not just people giving sports opinions. What about that bunt? It's, this can be fun. This can be entertaining. We can laugh and make fun of ourselves and some of the things going on here. And it feels like I've never seen a college game day that didn't he wasn't a part of. Like that, it's been my entire life. So it's just, you're happy for him that he gets to go out on his own terms sort of in that way. And it's not, you know, just how impactful he has been to college football as a whole.
It's a great observation by both of you. I think it's really important to recognize that, like, while there's all this emphasis on the X's and O's, Lee Corso was always about entertaining the audience. What can we do to make their experience as they join us for this hour, for this 2 hours, for this 3 hours, better? So that they walk away going, I'm glad I used my disposable time to hang out with those people. And he reminds us of that every single week in our production meetings when we get inside of our heads and we're trying to figure out what people want to know about, what we should be talking about. Lee was always there to remind us, hey, talk about whatever you want, as long as it's entertaining, as long as you were giving the audience something that they could walk away from going, that was a benefit. I'm glad I did that. I'm glad I hung out. I'm glad I tuned into that. And yet, to your point, if you like a Pat McAfee, if you like a Stephen A. Smith, if you like Charles Barkley, all of these guys who are doing those things, they have Lee Corso and Dick Vitale, by the way, to thank for that. So just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge the news yesterday about Lee Corso hanging him up first week of the college football season. Will Dean Towsh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. They'll certainly be talking about the NFL draft. Have a great weekend and stay safe out there, everybody, with the weather.